Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you and we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here with our friends, our brothers and sisters, and we just want to thank you for your word. You said you'd put your words in my mouth and you hasten to perform that word, Lord. Give me boldness to preach your word, that you'll stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders will be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory in advance for everything that'll be said and done in Jesus' precious name. And all the saints said,
amen.
Well, I want to talk to you this morning about praying for the rain. Now, I'm not talking about natural rain. I'm talking about spiritual rain. And when you talk about rain, there's a lot of synonymous terms. We could say outpouring. We could say a manifestation of God's glory. We could even say revival. You know, because really, that's the only thing that's going to change the heart of man. Some of you know about my testimony. I was in and out of the penitentiary, drug dealer. But nothing changed my life. The programs that they had, the programs that I was involved in the natural, couldn't help me. The drug rehab centers told me that there was no help for me. But when I came in contact with God's love, and I got revived. I got revived. Personally, I got revived. I got turned loose. Whew. Man, and that's what the world needs. See, the only thing that's going to change anybody is God's manifested presence in our life. And God doesn't want just an outpouring. He wants a habitation. He wants this to hit the earth and go on in and bring usher in the coming of the Lord. Go with me to James chapter 5. So we're going to talk about praying for the rain this morning. Praying for revival. Praying for an outpouring. Praying for the glory of God to be made manifest in this earth. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. But let me just say this. The greatest need for us as Christians is to be revived. But the greatest need for the world is an outpouring, because they've never experienced what we've experienced. And you know, from time to time, we have more degrees of the glory of God than we do at others. But we can have it all the time. And the world needs it all the time. The world needs to experience God's manifested glory in their life. It's the only thing that's going to change them and set them free from drugs or pornography or whatever. Alcohol, cigarettes, whatever they're bound with. The glory of God is the only thing that will set man free and keep them free. And you know, when we left the mission field, we had a very good, successful thing going, glory to God. I mean, we don't take the glory. All we did was say, yes, Lord. That's all any of us need to do. But we didn't leave a sinking ship. We were 18 years, almost 18 years in Eastern Europe, first Czech Republic and then Poland. And then God spoke to us in December of 2009 and told us to come back to America, because he wanted us to be a part of the greatest move of God this earth's ever seen. And he said, I want you to take this and I want you to stir the churches up concerning this, concerning my glory. See, because we've got to participate in what God wants to do in this earth. I said, we've got to participate in what God wants to do in this earth. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll come back and I'll show you that. Let's go to James chapter 5. The work over there is still going good. The two sons, well, they're not our natural sons, but they helped us start the work over there. The young man we turned the church over to in Poland, he's written 22 books of what you hear here on a regular basis, but it's in that language. And the other young man that was the head of our television program, TBN approached him, and so he's the head of TBM, and he started another church. So thank God the work is still going, and God sent us back here for a specific plan that he had, and that's to stir up people to pray for revival. So in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, he's talking about the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus, And in this, the farmer, this is God. He's the Father God. And the precious fruit of the earth, that's not apples and oranges and all that kind of stuff or mangoes. It's people. And you know, if you've ever spent any time praying, when you get into that place with God and you get into the Spirit, I've heard it many, many times. I've heard God's heartbeat. And you know what it sounds like? People, people, people. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's why He gave us Jesus, because of people. But God wants us to be a part of that. Come on, y'all help me this morning. I said, God wants us to be part of that. See, He wants to team up with us to get His plan done here on the earth. And it's not just America, not just North and South America, not Africa, Australia, the islands of the sea, everywhere. I said everywhere. Every people, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, God wants to be involved. This end time revival, God wants to cover the earth with it. You know, we've had an opportunity to go a lot of places in the world, and we are blessed here in America. You may think things are bad, but I guarantee you go overseas some and go out on your own without having somebody to meet you there and show you around. You go and you get amongst those people, and you think, oh my God, I'm so glad. I remember the first time I went to Ukraine, and we were living in Prague, Czech Republic. The wall had just come down in 1989 in Berlin, and we were shortly after we went. I started going there in 1990. And man, when I went to the Ukraine, we'd been in Prague, Czech Republic. I got back home and I told Angela, I said, boy, I sure am glad we're in Prague. Communism stinks, and so does socialism. But anyway, we won't get off on that soapbox. Spiritual reign, revival, Holy Ghost outpouring, manifestation of God's glory. James 5:7. Therefore be patient, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer, or God, waits for the precious fruit of the earth. God's waiting on people. I said, God's waiting on people. God's waiting on people to hear the word, to receive the word, and be born again just like you and me. To be delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Somebody's got to get to them. But somebody's got to help them go. So the glory of God will help people go. I said the glory of God will help people go. So he said, the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting patiently for it. It what? He's waiting for the harvest. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to be reaped. You know, some people say, come, Lord Jesus. And I say, no. No, not now, Lord. Don't come now. Why? I'm glad you ask. Because about 95% of the world's population would die and go to hell. I don't want that. Man, I know what it's like to be out there in darkness. I lived that way for 13-something years, but when July 6, 1983, this old boy heard the truth and I got set free, and I've been free ever since. And I get to tell others what God did for me, He'll do for you. The glory came into my life and set me free, and I got loosed, glory to God. But I got bound to the plan of God. You know, it's good to be bound, as long as it's bound to the plan of God. So he's waiting for this harvest until it receives. Until what receives? Until the harvest receives the early and the latter rain. Now, I don't know much about farmers, but I have talked to some, and they say it's good to have rain. If you're in here, if you're a farmer, you know you need to have an early rain to plant the seed. Then you have to have rain during that the time of growth, and then it's real good if you have a latter rain right before you harvest. Naturally speaking, you know, Jesus all the times taught natural things and relate spiritual truths to us. So we've got to have this end time rain. And I believe we've got our toes in the beginning stages of the greatest move of God this earth has ever seen. Man, there's nothing like it. I believe Angela will probably be sharing some tonight out of the Bible and out of history of what revival really looks like. So we got to have the rain. We got to have revival. We got to have this outpouring of the glory of God here on this earth. But God needs us to do something. I said, God needs us to do something. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. God is patiently waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, for people, for the harvest. But the rain, listen to this, the rain will bring in the harvest. It brought me in, it brought you in. Some of you may have had an encounter with God that turned your life completely around. You were going one way, you were hell-bent like I was, and all of a sudden, God, you had an intervention of God, and God's glory came into your life and changed your life just like that. It did with me. I mean, instantly delivered of drug addiction with no withdrawals. 13 years of man, just like that. Instantly set free by the power of God. Because somebody just like me, some supernatural Christian just like you, loved me enough and loved God enough to tell me the truth and show me from His Word. And I had an encounter with the Word of God and the glory of God. The rain will bring in the harvest. But the rain will not come unless we pray. See, this is our part. I said, the rain will not come unless we pray. The rain brings in the harvest, and then the end comes. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24:14? He said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. And the glory will thrust people out. I said, the glory will get you out of these blue chairs, out into your mission field, and you can be a witness, a demonstrator of God's love and mercy and compassion and power, the glory of God to flow through you to a lost and dying world. I mean, you'll be turned into another man, like he said about the prophet Daniel. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, that which is imparted to you here, when you come here to church and be fed, you'll be shocked by the things that'll come out of your heart as you minister to other people and as you lay hands on the sick. You know what? I'm going to take a little side journey here. As ministers, it's our responsibility to fill this pulpit. But it's your responsibility as supernatural Christians to fill these chairs. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If I step on some toes this morning, we're going to have a prayer line at the end. Essentially, God is waiting on us. Jesus will not come until the harvest is reaped. The harvest will not be reaped without the rain, and the rain will not come unless we pray. God desires for us to participate in the great outpouring, revival, or the end time rain, whatever we want to call it. John Wesley said this. He said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. We must pray. Well, you said, well, show me that in the Bible. Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Aren't you glad you got a good shepherd? I said, aren't you guys glad you got a good shepherd? Faithful, faithful, faithful. God is faithful to faithfulness, brother. God is faithful to faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Solid, 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 solid. Solid and faithful. Ma ci che le von so pronte este brentestam pomponce che stista papaca cetias. Giusso cultura babaca cedente chi sente. L'intena non ondo costunda capasta la tace. For I have brought you together as a core so that you can work together to see my glory be poured out in this area, in this city, in that city, in the area where you're from. For you're all brought together as one, but there is an order. There's a divine order that I have in the church. The pastors teach and the body goes. The pastor encourages and loves and prays for and protects, and the body goes. And the body will go here, and the body will go there, and the body will do the exploits that I said that they could do with their words, with my words in their mouth, and the glory that I have placed upon them to do what I've called them to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So he said, in Matthew 9:36, but he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion with them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous and laborers are few. Verse 38, but just kick back and relax. I got this all covered. You don't have to do anything. Is that what he said? No. He said in verse 38, then therefore pray the Lord of the harvest. Well, if it's God's will for the laborers to be sent out, why don't he just send them out? Because he wants us to be involved with his plan. I said, he wants us to be involved with his plan. He said, here's a problem. He said, I'm moved with compassion. I see the fields, they're white with harvest. And he said, the laborers need to be sent out. But he said, I want you to pray. And I want you to ask me for what I need to be done here on the earth. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that the laborers would be thrust out into the fields so the harvest can be reaped. See, natural, it's a natural example of spiritual things. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to be send out laborers into the harvest. How about Acts 9? You know, Saul. Paul. He had that Damascus Road experience. I wonder why he had that Damascus Road experience. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I'll tell you why. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good for those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. I mean, Saul was right there holding the coats when they stoned Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And then he had that Damascus Road experience. The glory of God shone down. And it changed him. He went from a persecutor to a preacher in a matter of seconds. And one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament, thank God. Man, why? Because the church prayed. Because the church did what God asked them to do. Not stone him, not talk about him, not make fun of him, not keep him at arm's length, but pray for him. Every move of God has been preceded by prayer. Every revival, every outpouring has been preceded by prayer. You know, our prayers make a difference. I said our prayers make a difference. James chapter 5, verse 16, the latter part. It says the effective, and I read out of the New King James, by the way, the theth and the thouth and the cometh, and I get my tongue twisted up. Anyway, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman, we could say, you know, because he's not just talking about us guys. Righteous person avails much. I like what the Amplified says. The earnest, heartfelt, continued. You know, see, when we're talking about revival, this is not a take a scripture and believe you receive and that's it, like we do when we're believing for finances or healing for ourselves. Because there's many elements involved in this end time revival. There's a lot of wheels involved. The Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We must pray for the rain. So how do we effectively pray? Well, I knew you were going to ask me that question, so let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but I'm sure you know these things. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. You know, in Poland, they pray to the saints and they pray to Mary, but no, the Bible says you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And then you pray to the Word, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence. Or you could say boldness, because really that word in 1 John 5, 14 is the same word in Acts 4, 29 where it says they prayed for boldness. This is the confidence or boldness that we have in Him if we ask anything according to what we want. Huh? If we ask anything according to what? His will. What's His will? His Word. Now, I don't know if you've got a paper copy or you've got an electronic copy, but it's His Word, right? And whether it's off the page or off of a screen, it's still powerful. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, well, you just never know what God's going to do or say. Huh? No. We know He hears us. See, when you talk God's language, He hears you. I couldn't communicate with the Czechs or the Poles until I learned their language or they learned mine. It's the same way with God. God's Word is a different language. We may have been religiously brainwashed, but when we come into a church like this and we learn the truth of God's Word and when we learn to talk like Him and think like Him and act like Him, we begin to see God's will working in our lives on a regular daily basis. It's a different lifestyle. So we know He hears us, and we know He hears us. We know. We don't guess. We don't think. We don't wonder. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Whew, man, that's good, isn't it? I mean, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about that, is there? Whew. So, we essentially, we remind God of what He said He wants to do. You know, when I was a little boy, I hadn't changed a whole lot. But when I was a little boy, except I got a few years under my belt, I was just like I am this morning. My daddy was in the Navy, and I didn't get to see him a whole lot. I remember one time he was gone for 18 months. But he was a career man. He in for over 20 years. And Dad had come home, and one time I remember Daddy came home, and there happened to be a circus in town because he was going to be in at home for a month. And the circus was about 2 or 3 weeks off, and he made a mistake. He told me, he said, "Son, when the circus comes to town, I'm going to take you." And boy, I got to say, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so excited. And what are we going to get to see, Daddy?" He said, "Well, you know, there'll be elephants there, and there'll be clowns there, and there'll be a tightrope walker, and we'll be able to eat cotton candy and hot dogs." Oh, I love hot dogs. He said, "We're going to have a real good time." And I just got so excited. And I was a little fella. And so 2 or 3 days went by, and that came back to my remembrance. And I said, "Oh, Daddy," I went and found Daddy. I said, "Oh, Daddy, when do we get to go? I know. You said we could go to the circus." And I rehearsed that whole scenario. You know, we're going to get to see elephants and clowns and all that stuff. Going to get to eat hot dogs. Glory. Well, I didn't say glory, but anyway. So, and then he says, "Yes, son, it's like 10 days off. And so it pacified me, and I calmed down. And then two or three days later, I thought of the same thing. So I went and found Eddie and I started that whole thing all over. I must have done that 7 or 8 times. And you know what? My daddy never got mad at me when I reminded him of what he said that he was going to do. God never gets mad when we remind him of what he said he would do. As a matter of fact, he loves it when we believe his word enough to remind him of what he said. Man, see, that's all prayer is. Prayer is communicating with a loving heavenly Father that wants to do far beyond what we could ask or think. Communicating with him. You know, Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly to the throne of grace to obtain help and mercy and grace at a time of need. See, God loves it when we get bold. Said, Daddy, you said this. You said this. I thank you, and I know you're working. We must contend in prayer for what God said. So, I want to give you something to use. I want to give you something to contend for concerning the rain. Now, you probably already know these things, but you know, I'm just here to remind you, just like Peter. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to remind you. So, Psalm 72, verse 6. Now, these are Old Testament promises, but they have not yet been fulfilled. Psalm 72, verse 6. It said, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing like the showers that that water the earth. He said he would. He said he would come like rain. Hosea 6:3. It's the morning, and he, talking about God, he will come to us like rain, like the latter and the former rain on the earth. Isn't that, you know, Acts said the early and the latter rain. Same thing. The former is the early, and the latter is the latter. He said he would come. I believe Acts is the early rain, and I believe we're in the days of the latter rain. Like I said, I believe we got our toes in the greatest move of God the earth has ever seen. Zechariah 10:1. So what do we need to be doing during this time of the latter rain? Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain, and the Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Everyone who? Everyone in the church and everyone in the world. Like I said, the church needs revival. The sinners, the world, they need an outpouring. They need the demonstrations of God's love, and it can come in many different ways, like healings and miracles and deliverances. And you know, you can deliver it. You can deliver those kind of things. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, you can deliver these kinds of things. Mark 16, John 14, 12. Look them up. Study it. Do it later. So, revival in the church, outpouring in the world. So I want to give you some more scriptures. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. Now these are unfulfilled scriptures. He said, truly as I live, does he still live? He said, all the earth, how much is all? All is all, isn't it? All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth. Now, you know, Angela will talk about this. But there's been revivals at different times. But he's talking about every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people all at once. And that's never happened. There's never been a revival that covered the earth. all at the same time. There's been outpourings here and there and here and there at different ages and different times in the church world, but not all at once all over the world. Just think about that, the magnitude of that. Communist News Network, CNN, they'll have to report stuff like that. They can't get away from it. The Washington Post, they'll have to report stuff like that. There's no way to get around it. They're going to have to show it to the world. And if they don't, there'll be plenty that will. Psalm 72:8-19. Bless the Lord, be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth, or all, let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Or so be it and so be it. That's what amen means. Isaiah 40, verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh, that's all over the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. Everybody. There will be nowhere on this earth that God's glory is not manifested. And we get to be part of it. Man, we get to be part of it. Glory to God. We get to be part of it and pray it in. See, these are concrete scriptures. You can do this just like I did to my daddy concerning the promise of going to the circus. You can get excited about it. Or you can be just real quiet about it. You don't have to. There's different degrees of excitement. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled, he said. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then he paints a word picture as the water covers the sea. Is there anywhere in the sea that there is no water? There'll not be any nation, any language, group of people that doesn't experience this. All over the earth, all at once. It's going to be such a... You read the book of Acts. I was listening to the book of Acts on the way down here. And man, I'm telling you, the early church had such supernatural manifestations, and it wasn't just through the apostles. Man, I'm telling you. And do you think that God is going to start the church like that and the end be fizzled out? Of course not. Now, religion has tried to shut us up and make us be quiet about these things, but we're going to jump up and we're going to shout from the rooftops. The glory of God is manifested, and the glory of God will come on you and turn you into a different person. You have trouble witnessing now? Man, walking in this glory, the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Shoo, man, I'm excited. This is better than being at the Alabama football game when they win the national championship. Come on next year. Anyway, if you're in Auburn, we cheer for you when Alabama's not playing you. Acts 2. Now this is New Testament, but this is also a scripture that has not been fulfilled. Acts 2, verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now I'll tell you where this is referenced. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, Joel prophesied about the early rain. The book of Acts. I like what the Amplified says. This is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Remember James 5 talked about the early and the latter rain. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass. He said, it shall come to pass. You think God's a liar? No, the Bible says God, it's impossible for God to lie. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of my word will pass away. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days, in these days. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit You know, we read that a lot of times. He says he'll pour out his spirit. He said he will pour out of his spirit on all flesh. Woo! Glory to God. On all flesh. On all flesh. On the little ones. On the older ones. Man, on all flesh. He said he would do it, and he will do it. But see, we just take his word. You know, Isaiah 55, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return void unto me, but it will accomplish that which I have promised. Do you think God speaks something to the earth and it bounces off the earth and comes back? No, he speaks it and it's written, or you hear somebody and it gets in our heart and we return it to him. Just like I did with my daddy. Daddy, you said we're going to go to the circus. Daddy, you said that you would pour out of your spirit on all flesh. You said to pray for rain in the days of the light of rain. Woo! I'm about to get excited up here. Whew. Catch my breath here a minute. I'm glad we're not in Colorado. Whew. You know, we got a Denver 6,000 feet up. I'll really be huffing and puffing up there. All flesh. See, I believe the book of Acts is early rain, and I believe this outpouring, this day and this time, is the latter rain. Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Now I'm going to read Joel 2. We talked about it. That's where he began to prophesy about the last days, and we read some of it in Acts 2. And he talks about Zion here. But I want to tell you, in some cases, when God speaks, it's concerning Israel. In other cases, it's concerning the church. Because if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, it says Zion is the church of the firstborn. Now, I believe there's a dual application there. He's not only talking about Zion, the Israelites, but he's also talking about the church. And he said in Joel 2, 23, he said, be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. God is a faithful God. He will always cause what he said to come to pass when he's got people that will dare to believe him and remind him of it. It's not possible for the word of God to fail. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Wow. Now I'm closing. Most of the time I don't mean a whole lot, but I'm closing. Is anybody in here ever heard about John G. Lake? Okay, for those of you that don't know, he was in the early 1900s. He was sent to Africa. And in 5 years' time, the glory of God fell on him and it fell on those people that he went to minister to. And there were 650 churches. My goodness. Makes me feel ashamed. We only had about 40 as far as we know in 18 years. 650 churches were started because he got on fire and got a revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Did I say 650 churches in 5 years? And then God sent him to Spokane, Washington, and he established, he called them healing homes. And he trained up ministers to work in these healing homes, and people would come there with terminal, incurable diseases, and they'd get people healed. The newspapers, I said the newspapers advertised it in their newspaper. There was over 100,000 documented, not just people got up and testify, but these are doctors that documented that they were healed. So this guy, I just want to give you some background on him. Now he had this vision. You can find it on the internet. It's called the Portland Vision. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's kind of lengthy. I'm only going to read the part that's pertinent to what we're talking about this morning. But it's called The Portland Vision, and his name is John G. Lake. It said, in May of 1920, John G. Lake moved to Portland, Oregon, to start and oversee another apostolic church. During this time, he had this following vision. And an angel appeared to me, and he stood a few feet from me, and he said, I have come to answer your prayers. I think I've heard that before. Seems to me that I remember Daniel had the same happening. He said, during this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand, and reaching for the Bible, the angel opened to the book of Acts. And he ran his finger over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven, proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena. He said, this is Pentecost. This is an angel talking to John. He said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. I'm going to add this. Teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. And when the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door to the entrance to the heart of God. Whew. Jesus will not come until the harvest is reaped. The harvest will not be reaped without the rain. And the rain will not come unless we pray. Whew. Wow. What a privilege to be a part of the greatest plan other than Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross that this world has ever seen. Man, I'm talking about, Angela's going to open your eyes concerning what it looks like biblically and talk about some of the revivals, but I believe this is the granddaddy. We're talking about the granddaddy of them all. Whew. Covering the earth as the water covers the sea. No nation, no people group will go without experiencing a manifestation of God's power, God's love, healings, miracles. I mean, it's just going to be so easy to get people healed. And you know, people can argue with you all day concerning doctrine, but they can't argue with a miracle and a healing. And then when you deliver a healing and miracle because God's glory is on you, that opens their heart to receive Jesus.